Let's go to the word of the Lord together. Let's go to the word of the Lord together. We have been preaching on the way of Christ. We have declared that 2025 is the year of opportunity. For the past few weeks, we've been preaching on the year of opportunity. This morning, we want to preach on seizing the moment. But before I do so, on Friday, I was in the morning, I was praying. I said, Lord, I have not received any testimonies. Because every time I come to the pulpit, I am releasing testimonies. And on Friday evening, a testimony came in. Then early this morning, another testimony came in. So the people like us to tell their testimonies. So you can still send your testimony. So this is the first one. This is from early this morning. Good morning, Pastor Adrian. Today I am so grateful. And I want to give God all the glory and thank you for the powerful teachings you preached on. I found a job. And it was one of my prayers. Come on. Yeah. It was one of my prayers I wrote down 2 weeks ago in church for 2025. But God did it for me in 2024. I am forever grateful. I told you on New Year's Eve we're going to have Pastor Nino our door up here. If you did not write anything down, you are in trouble. Your expectations for 2025, you are in trouble. God answered already in 2024. But now I want you to hear this one. This is the second one. Hope you are well. I just wanted to thank you for leading us and encouraging us to never give up. This year has been full of ups but more downs, but miracles has come. God is so good. My car warranty expired and I sat with an engine problem and I was not aware that it had expired, in which I would have needed to pay almost 25,000 rand for the repairs. I was stressed, not knowing how I will pay it, but through the grace of God, I didn't pay a cent. Now it gets better. And I got a brand new car. But hold on, it even gets better. With a full settlement on my trading. Also, I was waiting for a business deal that went through successfully this morning. That's Friday. God's grace has been more than sufficient and His favor upon me is so great. Thank you for your leadership and thank you for always being a strong pillar in our spiritual lives. I have decided to bless the church with 10,000 rand. Hold on, let me finish. I know you're excited, but let me finish. To ensure that I put back in the Lord's house what I receive. On Sunday, listen to this, I only had a 50 rand. And that's all I had to put in the basket. But this week my life turned around. And I know greater is in store for me. Thank you once again for always leading us so well. Now from 50 rand to 10,000 rand is 20,000% increase. From a 50 rand offering to 10,000 rand is 20,000% increase. And we are sitting here and we are like, you know what? When pastor preaches, when bishop preaches, it's for the person next to me. It's for the person that needs him. It's for the person that's at the end. No, when we read out these great testimonies, it's your moment to seize the moment and to say, Lord, I am next in line. I am standing ready to receive. You can't hear such great testimonies Sunday after Sunday and think that the Lord is not with you. And think that the Lord is not for you. And think that it's not your season. It is your season. That is why I'm saying when we testify and you hear those testimonies, you must stand up and you must shout and you must say, surely the Lord is going to do it for me. Surely the Lord will show up for me. 20,000% increase, oh Lord. Send 100,000%. Send whatever that you need to send into your house. Because we are a faithful people. Amen. We are a faithful people. Let's go to the word of the Lord. Again, we read from Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8. See, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. That alone should make your spirit leap and jump. That alone should say to you that God is truly busy doing amazing things. And I want to be next in line. When you define an opportunity, opportunity is an event or moment at which actions of importance or significance can be achieved. An opportunity is an event or moment at which actions or importance of significance can be achieved. It can be achieved. Because one of the things that we have to understand, we don't want just moments and opportunities that is worldly and carnal and made up of what the world will bring. We want opportunities and create events of importance that the Lord is in all of what we do. So that's how you define an opportunity. But when you look at the biblical foundation of opportunity, when you look at how the Bible defines it, the Bible gives you various understandings of opportunity. In Greek, it's the word kairos, which refers to an opportune or decisive moment. In biblical context, kairos often signifies a moment of divine appointment or a window of opportunity for spiritual growth, for service, or for evangelism. There is a kairos moment that the Lord gives us. There is a kairos moment that is being made available to each and every one of us right now. He is lining up the seasons. He's lining up the time. I was sitting and I was thinking when we were in worship, I said to the Lord, okay, 365 days. Next year, I need a scripture verse for each day. A scripture verse that's going to show me that God is going to create the opportunity that I need, and then I'm going to step in boldly and by faith. A kairos moment. Further to that, the Bible defines opportunity as open doors. Open doors. The Bible often uses the metaphor of open doors to describe opportunities for ministry, for evangelism, or spiritual growth. Many a times, and I want you to understand this, church, yes, God will create opportunity, as we've heard these great testimonies this morning, for advancement, for increase, for blessing. But when we speak of the biblical foundation, He creates opportunities for His glory. Few weeks ago, Apostle Oscar Hofmeister told us very clearly that our story is for His glory. So when the Lord creates the open door, when the Lord sets the open door, it is for you and I to understand He must always receive the glory. It's for His advancement of the kingdom. Thirdly, biblical foundation of opportunity is seasons of favor. The Bible teaches that there are seasons of favor and opportunity where God's blessings and provision are particularly abundant. It's seasons of favor. May there be a perpetual season of favor in this house. May our testimonies not cease in this house. May our praise reports not cease in this house. It is a season of favor that leads to another season of favor, that leads to another season of favor, that leads to another season of favor. Opportunity are seasons of favor. Then number four, it's divine appointments. The Bible often describes opportunities as divine appointments where God orchestrates events and circumstances to bring people together or to facilitate spiritual growth. Divine appointments. Divine appointments. Each and every one of us have an appointed season. Each and every one of us have an appointed moment. The testimony we heard this morning early morning about God opening a door. We wanted that door to open in 2025. Where did he open the door? Now in 2024. So what does that mean? It means now is the appointed season. Now is the appointed moment. It is my appointed moment. There's divine appointments being set up for us in 2025. Appointments with people we never thought we would be able to meet. Appointments in the right places, in the right spaces, because God is in those appointments. Divine appointments. There are people you're going to meet in 2025 that you cannot walk away from without blessing them. One of the things Bishop has taught us as pastors, that whenever we go to a house, we can never leave without praying. So I'm going to say this to the church. It's not just the pastors that must do that. I want us to learn that culture, that DNA, that in 2025, divine appointments will be created with our presence. So that when you step in, you are creating a divine appointment for a friend, for a colleague, for a family member, for your community. When you walk into a boardroom, you will have the boldness to say, I am the appointed blessing for this company. I'm the appointed blessing for this project. I'm the appointed blessing, so that when people leave your presence, they would say, yes, surely I've been encouraged, but I've met with God, because this person walked in and brought divine appointments. Never leave any person in 2025. Never let them leave your presence without you saying, let me pray for you. You don't need to pray long prayers. You don't need to lay hands on them and roll them and throw them and do all of those, and you pray, then you want to come catch them on the backside there. You don't need to do any of those things. You just need to be the one that says, can I pray for you? Let me pray for you. Good, bad, or in different seasons of their lives, I'm going to pray for you. And I'm putting you, and I'm saying now, if you don't do it, you're going to see my face. You're going to feel so disappointed. I should have taken this moment. You're going to come confess to me on a Sunday, Pastor, I should have prayed. I didn't pray. God is going to give you the boldness. That's the DNA. That's the culture of this church. We will bring divine appointments. The fifth one is stewardship of opportunities. The Bible emphasizes the importance of stewarding opportunities wisely, recognizing that they are a trust from God. God is going to create you and I to be stewards of opportunities. Stewards of opportunities. That means you need the right level of influence. That means you need the right level of leadership. That means you need the right level of authority. There's authority in this room. We have an apostolic authority in our bishop. When he speaks, we take that authority. We take that leadership. And we say that wherever we are to go, we will be the influence. God is creating you as a steward of opportunities. Denver, every plan and purpose for 2025, all the way to 2034. I don't know how we're going to get there, but it's only by God's grace. Every opportunity is going to make you a steward of. That means your hands are blessed. Your hands are blessed. Your hands are blessed to create and generate and to take care of what the Lord is giving you. Now, I know we are, when we talk to Bishop, Bishop is into gardening now big time. Bishop loves the garden big time. And when we talk to Bishop, we're calling him a farmer. But Bishop, we want to declare, farms the Lord will steward. Not just our garden there, but the Lord is giving you a stewardship of farms. Because that tells us that there is authority for us to move things as stewards of the Lord, to move things into the season they need to move into, to move the influence of God into the lives of people. There's stewardship of opportunities. Pastor Nigel, stewardship of opportunities, a greater level of leadership he's giving you, a greater level of influence he is giving you. That's a biblical foundation for opportunity. But opportunity requires foresight. That's what it requires. It requires that we run and have asked the Lord for vision. That's the other word, vision, foresight, vision. It means ask the Lord for it. Candace, 2025 can't be like 2024. Yesterday, my wife gave me a good talking to. Good talking to. She said to me, 2025 is your year to do X, Y, and Z. And then I said to the Lord later in the day, I said, Lord, give me the vision for it. Give me the foresight for it. Let me see it. There are people in this church that believe so strongly in you. And all you need to ask is, Lord, give me the foresight. Let me see what they see. When you hear the preaching from the pulpit, Lord, I don't see it. I don't know when and how it's going to happen. Help me to see it. Give me the foresight. Give me the foresight to see. Help me to watch and pray. Help me to ask the Holy Spirit to prompt me when I see it, when I know it. Vision is important. Foresight is important. Then opportunity requires action. You don't just pray about it. You say, Lord, right now I am stepping into it. It means to take action. Appropriateness, which is the course of action, is indicated by the opportunity at hand. That means for every opportunity, Malachi, there's an appropriate action. That means God aligns the season, that you don't miss the opportunity, that you don't miss the appropriate action, that you don't miss the testimony we heard. 50 rand was in the pocket. Now she could have gone home with the 50 rand. She could have gone home with it. The last 50 rand, she said, no, I'm giving it to the Lord. I'm connecting with what the Lord is saying. The appropriate action in the right season will create the opportunity that goes beyond your understanding, that goes beyond even your prayer, that goes beyond even you believing what the Lord can do. There's an appropriate action for every opportunity. Discernment, not all opportunities should be followed. Ensure that the Lord is directing you. Taking risk, most opportunities involve risk. Faith is risk in our language. So it's going to cost you faith. It's going to cost you to step up in faith. It's going to cost you to live a life of faith. It is going to cost you to set fear aside. To set fear aside. God cannot move without faith, without risk, if we are afraid. 2025 is not a year of being afraid. We are bold people. We are bold people. You don't believe it. Ay, Lord Jesus, help them. They are bold people. Courageous people. Kopano, ons is bang for niks. Ons is bang for niemand. We do what the Lord calls us to do. We step out in faith. Dependence. All opportunities involve dependence on the Lord, not on ourselves. Not upon what we can do. We are to be prepared. Be prepared before the opportunity ever comes along. I love the story of Joseph. When Joseph is in prison, the Bible says that he interprets the dream of the baker and the butler. And then when he interprets that dream, he interprets it so powerfully and so accurately that what happens actually manifests. But then the Bible says, I'm not sure, Mom, help me, which one is it that left him? It was the baker. Or the butler. Okay. The baker. The baker said to him, I will remember you. I'm leaving. I'm out of prison. I will remember you. He forgot about him. And according to what we read, it's about a 2-year difference in that. Then Pharaoh has a dream. And then the baker says, I remember there's a man in prison. Because the Bible says the magicians of the day, the fortune tellers of the day, the wise men of the day could not interpret the dream. Then he said, I remember there's a man in prison. Call that man. But what happens to Joseph? Joseph does not come looking like a prisoner. He shaves his beard, changes his dress. His opportunity has come. His opportunity has come. May you be prepared for every moment. May the Lord put the right words in your mouth, that when you speak with clarity, that when you speak with confidence, that when you speak with wisdom. May the Lord prepare you physically for where you need to be and what you need to do in 2025. Be prepared for your opportunity. Don't look like a prisoner, because you never know which king is calling your name. You never know which governor wants you to come and stand in front of them. You never know which prime minister and president is calling your name, looking for you. The captains of industry are looking for you. They need your wisdom. They need your advice. So you need to be prepared. There needs to be urgency. Each opportunity is a singular event. It will never come again. There needs to be urgency. Kairos, time, needs to be urgency. You can't leave it saying it will come tomorrow. Tomorrow is not given. Tomorrow is not promised. You have to take it in the moment. But I want to give you a scriptural reference on where we are when it comes to seizing the moment. Let's go to Mark chapter 10, 46 and 52. It says, "Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you.' And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' The blind man said to him, 'Rabboni, that I may receive my sight.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Go your way. Your faith has made you well.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road." It is said, if you read the biblical text and you do a little bit of your study, that this event happens probably a few weeks after Zacchaeus' event. So in the area of Jericho, which is about 100 miles, which if you take 1.6 is 160 probably kilometers away from Jerusalem. Jesus is now moving towards Jerusalem. And if we understand that it's going to take him about 10 days by foot to get to Jerusalem. So he moves into the area called Jericho. And if we know Jericho, we understand Jericho is from when the children of Israel crossed the River Jordan and they took Jericho. They took Jericho as their own possession. But in this area of Jericho is a blind man by the name of Bartimaeus. Timaeus means honor, means of value, means a man of renown. But then his son's name is Bartimaeus. Now there's two different interpretations of Bartimaeus. Because Timaeus also, if you look at it in the negative, it means a moment that has been squandered. It means a moment where you have not taken what you're supposed to do. It means something of dishonor in that moment. So here you can look at it as Bartimaeus, the son of a man of honor. But the son is blind. Now, if you understand the olden day, and especially this setting of the text, we understand that anybody that had sickness, illness, and disease did not live with their families. So they were outcasts. So Bartimaeus is living on the street. He is begging and he wants money. He wants money. But then the Bible says he hears that Jesus is in the vicinity. He hears that Jesus is busy teaching, preaching, praying, healing, doing miracles for various people. And whilst Jesus is moving through the city, Bartimaeus cries out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." The people amongst him, the people around him, the people in the crowd starts getting upset with Bartimaeus, and they say to him, keep quiet, this man cannot hear you. You're just making a noise. But he persisted. He persisted. I want to say to somebody in the house this morning, there's a cry from your life that nobody hears. There's been a cry in your spirit that you've been crying out to God. You look all prim and proper. You smell like a million bucks, but there's a cry from your life that nobody hears. There's a frequency that only Christ understands. There's a frequency and a voice that he can hear that only Christ can hear. In the midst of all these people here this morning, in the midst of everybody online, you are crying, but I've got good news for you. He can hear you in the midst of the worship of another man and another woman. He can hear your cry from the depth of your heart. Then Jesus stands still and he says, the same crowd that was telling him to keep quiet, he says to the same crowd, bring him to me. The same crowd that had derision for him had became his blessing, became his vehicle to his blessing. There are people in your life in 2025. They look at you and they say, this one, I don't think he'll make it. I don't think he has the chops to make it. I don't think he has the credentials to make it. But God's going to use the negative voices of your life to present you to him. They won't have an understanding of why they are blessing you, but there are divine appointments that he's setting up, and he's saying, I will use the negative voices to bring you to a place of blessing. The negativity of this world to present you to a place of blessing. God uses the crowd. Then he says to him, what do you need? What do you want? He sees the moment. He wasn't like the lame man at the temple that said to Peter and John, give me alms. He asked for the right thing. He says, help me so that I can see. Other translation says that I may see again. Which means that maybe, just maybe, he wasn't born blind. Maybe something happened to him. Maybe there was some congenital disease, if I said it right, doctor, that has caused him to deteriorate in his sight. But he asks for the right thing. He says, give me sight. When the opportunity comes for you to present your case to Jesus, ask for the right thing. Ask for the thing that's going to cause you, that when people see you and people that know you will stand amazed at what the Lord has done. He said, Lord, may give me my sight. And the Lord said, it is well with you, go. And then he didn't go. He said he started following Jesus. Because the opportunities of 2025 is created for you to follow him even harder than what you did before, to follow him even closer than what you did before. He's not giving you a job to keep you from his house. He's not giving you a job to keep you from his purpose. He's not giving you a new car for you to just sit and be amazed at how beautiful your car is. He's giving you a car for his purpose, that when you see I need to do the things of God, I will follow greater, closer, harder, better than what I've done before. He's not giving you money in your pocket for you to keep it. He's giving it for the advancement of his kingdom. Every opportunity of 2025 is for you and I to follow closer. To follow closer. To follow closer. He's not giving you the mind capacity to get all A's so that the report card looks nice. That's not why. He's not giving you the mind capacity, Melvin, to do well in business, for you to be, for us to say, but Melvin is a great businessman. He's giving it you every opportunity and every blessing to follow. I'm going to do more for Jesus. I'm going to do greater for Jesus. Because what Jesus has done is to change not just my life, but he changed my socioeconomic status. I once was a beggar, but now I can see. Now my life has changed. Now I don't have the derision of people anymore. People don't look down upon me. People don't find me unworthy. People look at me and they see a miracle. People look at me and they see the opportunity that God has brought. People look at me and they see a life changed only by Jesus. He's not giving you opportunity in 2025 for you to grow big and for you to say, I did it. He's giving you an opportunity to say, Lord, use me. Tell me where I must go. Show me what I must do. How must I advance your kingdom? Where do you want me? Where do you need me? That is why he's giving you the opportunity. So the lessons we learn about opportunity and blind Bartimaeus: faith drives persistence in seizing the opportunity. You must have faith to run after it. Last week we spoke about the readiness and we spoke about determination. You must have faith to drive you, persistence in seizing the opportunity. Pursue Christ in the midst of the opportunity. There's many people that will be able to do things for you, man. There's many people that can put in the right word for you with the right people to put you where you need to be. But you need Jesus's voice more than the people's voice. Because the things that Jesus do, it is permanent. The thing that I can do for you only lasts but for a season. When Jesus does it, it stays. When Jesus does it, it is permanent. When Jesus does it, it works. When Jesus does it, it is not given to the situation and the circumstances. It is divine. His hand is on it. He watches it. He sustains it. And he continues to do it over and over and over and over again. Because if he healed me once, surely he can heal me again. Opportunity seized answers the right needs. It answers the right needs if you seize that opportunity. That's why I said ask the right thing. Be like Bartimaeus, ask for the right thing. Ask for the right opportunity. Ask for it. Opportunity seized transforms destinies. I gave you a little bit of facts, financial facts, when we did the baby dedication. It transforms destinies when we are in Christ. Transforms destinies when we generate wealth for our generations to come and they understand the purpose. In the midst of it, we put Christ. In the midst of it, we put the kingdom. Not ourselves, not our needs. He'll take care of it. In the midst of it, he is in it. And if he is in it, he transforms the destinies of his people. So there's a few declarative statements we have to make when we seize the moment. A few moments of boldness that it takes from us. Declarative statements concerning the opportunity. And we're in the season of Advent, we're in the season of preparation for the Christ birth. On Wednesday, we have our Christmas service. But Mary says it in Luke chapter 1 and verse 38. Be it unto me according to your word. That's the first declarative statement you must make. That if the word of the Lord is spoken about the year of 2025, the year of great opportunity, that the Lord says, see, I have set before you an open door. No man can shut it. The declarative statement of my heart is, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. your word, not my word, your promise, not my promise, your guarantee, not my guarantee, be it unto me according to your word. Matthew 9:29, be it unto you according to your faith. It will be unto me according to my faith. Because what I am asking, what I am stepping into, is a divine opportunity. Luke 22:42 is, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, nevertheless, I know I can do X, Y, and Z. I know I can do this and that, but nevertheless, let thy will be done. 2 Timothy 4:6, Philippians 2:17, I am being poured out like a drink offering. Lord, I am pouring out my life. I'm giving my all in honor of you, in worship of you. And then Joshua 24:15, I put that in there. As for me and my, what will we do? As for me and my house, as for me and my house, we will have open doors. As for me and my house, we will have Kairos moments. As for me and my house, we will have appointed moments. As for me and my house, we will see the blessing of the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord even more. We will go closer with Him. We will walk with Him. We will live for Him. In 2025, as for me and my house, be it unto us according to your word. As for me and my house. This is the last one. How opportunity seeks determination. Trust in God's sovereignty. Surrender to God's will. Have faith in God's promises. Be humble and be obedient. How you seize it is to trust in God's sovereignty. He is God over all. There may be a system that the world subscribes to, but He is God over all. Surrender to God's will, faith in God's promises, humility and obedience. Let's stand. Are you ready to seize the opportunity? Every Sunday I must fight with you. Every Sunday. Are you ready to seize God's opportunity? Yes. Much better. Much better. So we raise our hands. We make this prayer together. And again, you say it with as much power as you can. With as much zeal as you can. You seize the opportunity for what the Lord is going to do in 2025. I'm going to count you down and then we start praying. 3, 2, 1. We come before you today, declaring our faith and trust in your word concerning our lives. We know that you have a plan to prosper us, to give us hope and a future. We declare that we will take up every opportunity that you bring our way, trusting that you have ordained it for our good and for your glory. We will not let fear, doubt, or unbelief hold us back from seizing the opportunities that you have for us. We stand on your promise that you will make our path straight and you will give us the desires of our hearts. We trust that you will equip us with the wisdom, strength and courage we need to take advantage of every opportunity. And that we will follow your leading, even when it's uncomfortable or uncertain. We know that your ways are higher than our ways, and your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We thank you for the faith that you have given us, and we declare that we will use it to manifest the opportunities that you have for us. We will not let our faith be limited by our circumstances or by what we can see with our natural eyes. We declare that we will see with the eyes of faith, and that we will trust in your goodness and your sovereignty. We will not let fear or doubt creep in and steal our opportunities. We thank you for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We declare that we will meditate on your word day and night, and that we will use it to guide us as we take every opportunity that you bring our way. In Jesus' name we pray, and we all say, amen.